And good morning, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. Here on the Word of Life, the wonderful thing that I like about the radio show is that at my discretion, I can turn in the road if I need to, you know, take it a detour, so to speak. I'd like to spend at least a few moments today and possibly into next week, just depending on how this plays out, in talking about something that assails us at holiday time. We've just come through Thanksgiving, wonderful holiday designed to remind us of the need to be thankful. People have abused it in the sense that what they've done essentially is said, well, I don't need to be thankful any other time, just on this day. And of course, that's not what we need to do with the day, right? There is a struggle that goes on in us to remain thankful people. What about grief at holidays? That's what this is about. I have, in the last few weeks, talked to several people who, although they enjoy the holiday time, face the fact that there is a very hard element to it. And that hard element is that it just seems like that things, memories become prevalent, hearts become tender, however you want to say it, but you understand the process, don't you? You come up to a holiday and all of a sudden, those that you have lost that are not there for the holiday now become ever present in your mind. It's not that you choose to be bothered by this. It's not possibly that you choose to be depressed by this. But these things do happen. What do we do with this? You know, some Christians say, and I apologize for this in advance, but some Christians say just, you know, suck it up and deal with it. They say that you should know that, you know, feelings come and feelings go, just don't worry about it. You know, there's a lot of times that people are well-meaning and they talk about things like that. Don't take it personally. Please don't. Because what people are doing sometimes, there's a couple of different things I think of right off. What people are doing is that they are expressing the fact that they don't know how to respond to the situation that you find yourself in. If you're a person, for instance, that at the mention of a holiday, maybe a tear graces your eye. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you just have to be alone for a little while. Some people don't understand that. Some people don't understand that grief does not necessarily rule you, but you can't walk away from it without feeling its touch. That's a real struggle this time of year. Thanksgiving is past, Christmas is coming, and people that struggle at Thanksgiving look toward the next holiday just a month later and think, I don't know if I can do this again. I don't know if I can survive another holiday. We've all heard stories where grief has affected people. For instance, just here recently, I read in the paper within a week of each other the obituaries of a woman that had passed away that was in her 80s, and then a week later, her husband followed. Was it chance? Some people would say it just happened to work out that way. Well, I tend to recognize that in things like that, a broken heart has a lot of effect on people. You know how we hear doctors say, and we know by experience, that we can will ourselves to feel better, that by changing the attitude that we have, now we can't defeat all disease, I'm not saying that, but we can definitely make a headache not so bad, make the flu a little more manageable and things like this. Wouldn't you believe that it could go the other way? If a heart is broken over the loss of someone you love, it can take you down if you let it. Now, not every grief is answered simply by making the choice not to be affected by it so much. One of the problems that we have with grief as Christians, and we're going to be talking about this from Scripture in just a few moments, but one of the problems we have runs something like this, that a good, faithful Christian wouldn't be bothered by grief. Well, if you believe that, then you miss whatever it was that Jesus felt. Now, later on in our study, we'll look at a story where Jesus wept at the death of one in John chapter 11. You remember he had come to the home of Lazarus in Bethany. Mary and Martha were there. Lazarus had died. In the midst of the weeping of others, John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. Perhaps two very important words for us to remember. We struggle. You know, we sometimes make the mistake of saying, I've got to be strong. We think that just simply by not crying in front of somebody, by not admitting grief, that we are handling grief. My friend, it is a mistake to think that being strong is an answer to grief. Grief is as natural a response to the event of death as anything. You know, some people don't handle the same situation in different ways. I understand that. What about a person that didn't feel the pain of losing someone that they loved? Let me tell you what that says. It would say that you didn't care. The pain is just as real as the wood and the tree, the earth that we walk on, anything that you would want to use to illustrate it. It is not a sign of dealing with grief to simply say, I'll be strong. It's not a sign of dealing with grief to say, I'm a Christian, I don't feel grief. Those are false ways of dealing with grief. On the other end of the spectrum, sometimes grief overwhelms us. It's almost like a cloud that envelops us and begins closing in on us, and we're walking down the road. It's like a fog, even, that begins to encircle you and cloud your vision. What if a person can only see their own grief? And the answer when somebody speaks to them about it is, well, what do you expect me to feel? What do you think I should feel? With the implication that there is no escape from that grief. There's always escape from grief. The escape from grief is not to be found in the willpower that we have. It's not to be found even in the wrong sense of faith. Real grief in the scripture, and again, we'll be looking at some verses that talk about this as we go through today. Real grief in scripture admits the pain, but tempers it with the awareness of the promises of God. We must understand that as real as grief is, every one of us at some level have to deal with grief. In a particular avocation that I have, that is of preaching, I deal with grief a lot. That doesn't make grief any easier for me to bear myself at times. Maybe grief over different things would be the way to describe that. But over the years, I know that I've done something on the order of maybe 400 funerals or more. I used to count that, and I've just lost count over the years. I know there are some that have done more and some that have done less. But as a person is in the presence of grief time after time, what they wind up with is not being desensitized to grief, but you see that there is a road to walk through in order to function in the middle of grief. Now, you might say, well, the grief is not your own. Granted, the grief is not my own many times, but there are just as many times that I have spoken at the funerals of friends as I've spoken at the funeral of strangers. You know, honestly, it is easier to speak at the funeral of one that you have known, and perhaps one that you have known very well, than it is to speak a few words at the loss of someone that you never knew. You don't know what to say. You don't know the heart. You don't know the situation. You don't know anything except what people tell you. And the struggle is right there. But away from that. What we recognize among all of us is that what we want is to be able to recognize and in that sense embrace the grief that becomes a part of our life without that grief holding on to us to our destruction. We'll begin to look at a few biblical examples and some statements about grief in just a few moments. Right now, let's listen to another song. Walking Alone at Eve. What an old, old song, and a song that speaks of our soul and simple relationship with God. And that relationship with God affects everything in our life. I want you to turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 49. This might be the only text that we get through today, but I want you to read with me a passage in Genesis 49 going into chapter 50 where the children of Israel have arrived in Egypt. And I say the children of Israel in the sense of literally Israel and his sons and the children and families that they had. Joseph was ruler in Egypt. You remember the story, don't you? How Joseph was unjustly taken to Egypt as a slave, falsely accused, put in prison, but rose to the second position of power in the land of Egypt. And it was all for a purpose, to save the lives of those people involved in the promise of God. If you're turned to Genesis chapter 49, I want you to turn to verse 28 there. Look at verse 28. We're going to begin reading there and read several verses even into chapter 50. I just want you to follow the flow of the story. What this is the story of is when Israel died and Joseph and the others and their mourning about him. Let's read the text. Genesis 49, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, every one of them, with the blessing appropriate to them. Then he charged them and said to them, I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought along with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. There they buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is in it, purchased from the sons of Heth. When Jacob finished charging his sons, he drew his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Joseph fell on his father's face, chapter 50, verse 1, and wept over him and kissed him. Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. So the physicians embalmed Israel. Now 40 days were required for it, for such is the period required for embalming, and the Egyptians wept for him 70 days. When the days of mourning for him were past, Joseph spoke to the household of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found favor in your sight, please speak to Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Behold, I am about to die in my grave, which I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. There you shall bury me. Now therefore, please let me go up and bury my father. Then I will return. Pharaoh said, Go up and bury your father, as he made you swear. Now there are more things to be read here, but I want to talk about the passage that we have read at this point. You know, when a person is aware that death is approaching and the end of their life is imminent, many times they have something to say to those around them. Israel had given blessings to his sons. Blessings, as the scripture said here in verse 28 of chapter 49, that were appropriate to each one. You'll notice that verse 29 tells Israel's last wish. This happens with people sometimes. Aside from a few words to say, they might have something that they want done. Now, you and I know that wherever a person dies and that body returns to the dust from which it came, God can raise that body there. But sometimes there is a connection to be seen in the passing of generations. And the passing of generations in that sense is seen in verse 29 in the words that Israel spoke. I am about to be gathered to my people. Do you understand the richness of the phrase that he used there to describe that? Do you understand what he meant? What he meant was, those that I love have gone before. In fact, he gives a list of those that he is thinking of. In verse 30 and 31, you'll see the names Abram, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Israel's wife, Leah. All of these were there in that field. Their bodies had been committed to the dust from which they came. And now Israel is saying, I want to go there. He uses those words, gathered to his people. And the writer of the book of Genesis at the end of verse 33 uses the same words, gathered to his people. You see, what was the loss here for that family was the gaining there. Now, you've heard people say that before. You've heard people talk about that, and you probably thought that sounds kind of sappy. But you know it comes from the scripture. The idea is that as generations have come and gone before, and those that we love have come and gone before, so we will be. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. What it is a recognition. Now, when you get into chapter 50, the interesting thing is that you see from verse 1 down to verse 6, and indeed, if you read on in the passage, on down to the end of the chapter, the mourning of the people of Israel. His sons' wives, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, however many were there, all of these were sad and brokenhearted at the loss of this one that they loved. And in just a few moments, we'll touch base again on that. But right now, another song. Now, we're in Genesis chapter 50, and I want you to look at verse 11 of chapter 50. Now, I mentioned a while ago that if you had read on in the passage, what you would have seen was that the mourning continued as Joseph and his entire family traveled to Canaan to bury Israel. But I want you to notice the specific view that those of Canaan had of the grief that was there among that family. In chapter 50, verse 11, and this is visible grief, mind you. When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning for the Egyptians." Therefore, it was named Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. That is the meadow of mourning for Egypt. I just want you to understand that the grief that was felt was real. Now, who would be in a better position to know that God is real and that eternity is there? And all the things, you know, that we think about that would give a person assurance that everything's going to be okay. And yet, in the face of everything that God provided, broken hearts were seen. Now, if that doesn't impress you with what God's will for grief is, then I want you to really step back and take a look at yourself. I want you to realize that God recognizes grief. Joseph was never reprimanded by God for feeling grief over the death of his father. His brothers were not reprimanded. The children, the grandchildren, nobody was reprimanded for grief. Grief is a normal and natural process experienced at the loss of someone you love. Now, quite honestly, and I want you to listen closely here, quite honestly, the depth of grief reflects the depth of love that you have for a person. In other words, the relationship that you have reflects into the amount of grief that you probably will feel. Do you understand that there are some times that death takes place that you don't even register grief? How many people die each day, and yet we are not overwhelmed by grief at those people dying? You see, it's the people we know that die that touch us. Now, somebody else is touched when you're not. What about somebody on the other side of the planet that dies and leaves a wife and children? Or a wife dies and leaves a husband and children? Something like that. We don't feel grief. We might say, "Aw, that's too bad." But grief is experienced by those who love. If you're in the midst of grief, if the holidays are hard for you, don't be despondent. And don't give up. every day things change. The grief that you feel today is because of the blessing you have enjoyed in the past. Understand that. And when there is grief that seems unanswerable, realize again that every day things change. We'll continue next week on the Word of Life talking about this grieving process. You're in my prayers, and I pray that the holidays bring you cheer. God bless you through the week.